This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Time to feed you some football. It's NFL Lunch here on Vinny and Haney. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney today here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Joining us now via the Window Nation fan guest hotline is Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk. Miles, what's going on?
Not too much, Sean. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Appreciate you making some time for us today. And we've been talking, obviously, a lot about the AFC North here in Baltimore, and we saw the Bengals moved on from Sheldon Rankins earlier, saving themselves almost $10 million. Quite a few cap casualties around the league, and we're going to start to see some of these guys become free agents here in the coming days. Are there any potential cap casualty guys that you're kind of keeping your eye on at the start of the offseason?
Yeah, I would say the biggest guy right now is Cooper Kupp. And, you know, obviously it came out that the Rams had given him kind of permission to seek a trade and like they were going to move on from him and he made the announcement or whatever, however you want to put it. I mean, basically they're in a situation where if somebody would want to give up a low pick and take on Cooper Kupp's salary, I'm sure that the Rams would be happy to see that happen. But at this point, I would almost expect more that he's going to be one of those kind of cap casualty guys because he's due, I think, $20 million heading into next season. And that's just not necessarily something that anybody's probably going to want to pay him based on the production that he's had over the last few years. I mean, obviously, he was such a big part of what the Rams were able to do in 2021, you know, winning the Super Bowl, becoming Super Bowl MVP, even though, in my opinion, it probably should have been Aaron Donald, but
yes,
that's neither here nor there.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, but over the last few years, there's been injuries. The production just hasn't been there. You know, you watch him, the explosion just isn't quite the same. So I think he can help a team, but probably not at the price tag where he's at right now. So that's one where I think he'll probably end up being cut rather than being traded.
Hey, Miles, with the draft of quarterbacks not that deep this year, the quarterback carousel, how do you see that kind of shaping up? Because there is a lot of teams that need them, and there's a lot of veteran guys that are out there.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, I'm sure you guys are very happy in Baltimore that you really do not. But it's going to be interesting to see. I think the first domino to fall is weirdly going to be Sam Darnold. And that's a guy where, I mean, going into last year, he goes to Minnesota, and I'm like, all right, well, I'm not really that excited about that. I can't really wait to see when J.J. McCarthy is going to take over. But he did play very well, you know, for the most part in that season. And I think certainly when you have Kevin O'Connell calling the plays, designing the offense, when you have a guy like Justin Jefferson out there, the best receiver in the league for my money, out there catching passes, it makes it a lot easier. And then you see, you know, how he kind of melted down a little bit against Detroit and then against the Rams in that playoff game. But, you know, when he is the best quarterback out there, that's really available. And yeah, I mean, the rumors right now, Matthew Stafford, could maybe he's going to be traded, maybe not. I don't really see that happening. But I do believe that once Sam Darnold and that domino falls, and you'll start to see other guys, maybe Russell Wilson, you know, and some, maybe he ends up going back with Pete Carroll to the Raiders if the Raiders don't get Sam Darnold, you know, and then Aaron Rodgers, will see what happens there as well. But I don't think that, you know, 40-plus-year-old Aaron Rodgers, especially given the enigma that he has become, is going to be all that attractive to a team that really needs a quarterback. So that's one where, man, it's like I'm not sure where he's going to end up, but I don't know that teams are going to be really knocking down his door to try and get him this offseason.
We're talking to Miles Simmons, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Is Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Miles, this past season we saw the Washington Commanders really overachieve, make it all the way to the NFC Championship game. And now you're going into an offseason with, you know, what you expect to be the future of your franchise with Jaden Daniels. They've got a ton of money. We're used to seeing them spend a lot of money in the past. How do you expect them to utilize all this cap space they have this offseason?
Well, they're in one of the best positions that you can be in as a franchise, which is, you've got a great quarterback who is young and cannot be extended for another couple of years, right? And you know, whenever you're in that situation, as we saw the Texans were last year with C.J. Stroud, you want to kind of go proverbially all in, right? You want to make these moves that can really solidify your franchise as one of the best in the conference. And so, you know, they are one of those teams where you look at a Myles Garrett, right? And the Browns have been pretty steadfast in saying, we don't want to move Myles Garrett. I think that that makes a lot of sense. However, if they do end up trading him to a contender, that is a team that you can say immediately, well, not only are they a contender, but also they've got the cap space to give Myles Garrett a new deal and a new lucrative deal, make him the league's highest paid defensive player once again. So, I mean, that's where, yeah, I mean, I don't think Adam Peters is going to go crazy, you know, and start making the Dan Snyder-ish moves where you're just throwing money at whoever. But I do believe that they are in a position to add very high quality pieces at the right price. And maybe you got to overpay for a guy or two because it is free agency, and that's just how it works. But when you have the young quarterback, you already know that he is elite. You have so much flexibility because it just allows you to add everything that you could possibly need before you even have to pay him.
What do you think happens with Travis Kelce? Because the way he played the last couple of games, he looked like he's done.
Not only that, but he sounded like he was done listening to that podcast that he did with his brother, Jason, right after. And he started talking about how, look, there's just so much that you have to do in order to get your body ready. And he also pointed out, you know, like they've played more football than anybody over the last few years. I mean, you go back to 2018, right, when Mahomes becomes the starter, they have not finished worse than overtime of the AFC Championship game. So that's a lot of football and a lot of mileage that Travis Kelce has. It's another guy where you're looking at him and it's like, man, just the explosion's not quite there anymore. And that's not a knock on him. He's in his mid-30s. He's a tight end. He has become one of the greatest players in NFL history, a guy that can probably walk into the Hall of Fame, you know, as soon as he's done. It'll take him 5 years, obviously, but you know what I mean. So I would not be surprised if Travis Kelce decides he's going to hang it up. And I also think that the Chiefs have been preparing for it because you watch them over the course, especially the second half of the season, Noah Gray became a bigger and bigger part of that offense. And so they understand that another tight end is on the roster. And is he going to be Travis Kelce? No, probably not. But I think that they are not going to be unprepared if Travis Kelce decides, hey, I'm stepping away.
Miles, we know the Titans are at the top of the draft this year, and they've put it out there, I think, a couple of weeks ago that they're looking for generational talent. They're not going to pass on generational talent. What do you expect them to do with that top spot? Do you expect them to stay put, make some moves? How do you see this going?
I think it's going to be harder than it's been in the last few years to trade at the top of the draft because this draft is not quarterback heavy, if that makes sense, right? I mean, you know, with the Bears when they had Justin Fields and they decided that they wanted to keep Justin Fields and not go for Bryce Young, that was, I think, an easier pick to trade because you had guys at the top of the draft that were more or less surefire, really good quarterback prospects. I don't think anybody thinks of Cam Ward and Shutter Sanders in even that realm, let alone the realm that we were in last year when you had six guys get picked in the top 12 or whatever it was, right? So I think that kind of makes it a little more difficult. But the Titans are not in a great position. You know, when you don't necessarily have a guy that you believe in at quarterback and there are not guys that are universally believed in at quarterback, I mean, you've got to be really sure that that guy is going to be your guy if they go for Cam Ward, if they go for Sanders at the top of the draft. I mean, and it also doesn't look like it's going to work out between Baby Blue Jeans, you know, Will Levis and Brian Callahan for whatever reason. That partnership doesn't feel like it's going to work. So I anticipate that they will do something at quarterback, whether it is bringing in a guy like a Sam Darnold to have him maybe be a bridge to who they pick in the draft, whether it's a guy at the top or maybe in the second round they go for a Jackson Dart, something like that. But yeah, it's not something where I think that they're just going to be able to trade that pick as easily as we've seen in the last couple of years. It's just that's not the way this draft class appears to be structured.
Hey, Miles, do you expect any action this week at the Combine, like trades? Or I'm guessing we'll probably hear, or you guys will probably be reporting a lot of hearsay stuff going on, possibly.
Yeah, you know, and this is where things start to heat up, right? And it's not the quote-unquote legal tampering period or negotiating window, whatever you want to call that. But this is where, because it's, you know, the NFL convention of the offseason, basically, you know, you've got all the agents there. You've got most general managers there and personnel folks. They start talking. And so, you know, whether it's agents figuring out what the market is, maybe it's, you know, teams thinking, hey, you know, what if you put this guy on the market, right? You know, that's how the Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis trade gets started. It's just two GMs talking. And sometimes those things start happening at the Combine, whether it's at Prime 47 in the middle of the night or, you know, they're walking around at Lucas Oil Stadium during the workout. So, yes, I do think that, you know, maybe we will hear it, maybe we won't, but this is where the offseason movement really, really starts. And so whether it's a guy like a Myles Garrett, you know, with guys coming up to Andrew Berry and saying, hey, are you sure you don't want to move him? Like, what if we gave you 3-1? What if we gave you this or that? You know, or it is a guy like a Cooper Kupp, and it's like, hey, well, we'll give you a conditional 6 if you do X, Y, and Z. And that's where those things a lot of times get started.
Miles Simmons, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. How can people follow you and keep up with your work?
I am at Miles A. Simmons on Twitter if you want to follow me there. And, of course, you can keep up with all news on the NFL at ProFootballTalk.com.
Miles, appreciate you, man. Have a great weekend, and we'll check in with you down the line.
Thanks, Miles.
All right. You guys, too. Take care.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to the Orioles talk. Danielle Allentuck, she'll join us at 1:30. She covers the Orioles for the Banner. But right now, let's look ahead to who are some of the guys that we're most excited to see this spring. 410-583-1057 is the number. If you got somebody you're excited to see on the field, we'll tell you who we're excited to see next here on the field.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fan. You know, with the first spring training game coming tomorrow, got me thinking about what guys we're excited to see this spring. I'll give you one of mine. I've got a couple, but I'll give you one of them. I'm excited to see Enrique Bradfield Jr. We got to see him last year in the spring, and he made a couple of plays, and really it sounded like he had a great year last year. I talked to obviously Steve Molesky, who keeps a close eye on what's going on in the minor leagues, and a couple of these other guys, Dan Zimborski as well from FanGraphs, and a lot of people have raved about just the growth of this kid from the previous year to last year. And I'm excited to see what the jump looks like for him this season, but I'm sure he'll be all revved up, ready to go out in center field. And he's got that game changing speed in the field, but also on the base paths as well. So I'm excited to see him. Who you got, Vinny?
I want to see Cedric Mullins. I mean, we haven't heard, you know, people don't talk about him much, and same with Dean Kramer. I mean, nobody talks about him now. But those guys are going to play big roles for them. So I'm anxious to see, you know, does Mullins, you know, is he going to start out fast or is he going to, you know, start out slow? And, you know, what's Man Bun going to do, you know? And, you know, those are two veteran guys that have been around a while that people don't talk about much, but I'm anxious to see that. I like those two guys.
And remember, Mullins last year didn't get off to a great start at all. So, you know, maybe a hot spring leads to a hot start to the season. That'd be great.
Finished well, though. He was one of the few bright spots in the playoffs.
I'll give you two, and mainly one because they're nameless. I'm looking for someone new in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a texter earlier this week that pointed this out, and they're 100% right. Mike Elias's track record in finding gems for the bullpen has been fantastic.
Yep.
Nobody knew who the hell Cionel Perez was when he arrived here. I mean, he only had so many major league innings under his belt, and he ended up being great when they traded, the Jorge Lopez trade, and they got Yennier Cano back in return. Well, everyone just kind of threw him to the side that he was a throw-in piece, and then he ends up being a great back-end guy. They've had a knack for finding these diamonds in the rough, even if they're sometimes waiver claims. I think about a Jacob Webb was a midseason waiver claim that you're sitting there saying, why did the team give up on him? I mean, this guy's pretty solid. He's not elite, but he good enough to be a major league bullpen guy. So there will be a new name out there this year. I'm very confident.
Batista.
Yeah. No, is he back to 100%?
Well, I mean, just in terms of the gems that they've been able to kind of turn around as well in the bullpen.
No doubt. Now, someone with a name, Sam Bassaio.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is just getting hype left and right. Everywhere you turn, you look at the Orioles farm system, the farm system that's been loaded for years. Everyone's raving about Bassaio. And next to a Jackson Holliday, who's also very young, he's one of the few guys that's actually got a chance to make the majors before they're 21 or right at 21 years old, right around there. That's very exciting as a baseball fan, the potential to have a great potential star player before they're even in their mid-20s. That's always exciting. So Sam Bassaio, you know, they'll have some things to shuffle around when he gets here. Who's playing catcher most of the time? Where does Adley go? But I want that good problem. I want to see more Bassaio.
Yeah, I think that good problem will probably be here at some point. And I look at the Gary Sanchez signing because me and Ben have talked about this on our show. Sanchez isn't the most durable guy out there. He's not the, you know, definitely not like the James McCann to where he's the, you know, I'll do whatever it takes for this team. That's not necessarily Gary Sanchez. He's a better offensive player, no doubt, than James McCann. But I don't look at Sanchez as kind of like a move that they're expecting a long-term payoff of. Even if it's, you know, the whole year, I don't know what it looks like. I think they may not even know what to fully expect out of Sanchez. But I think Bassaio was in the back of their minds a little bit with what they decided to do behind Adley at the catcher spot. And I agree. I'm curious to see how much Adley's going to be behind the plate in general this year, but especially whenever Bassaio does make his way up here, I'm curious to see how they go about splitting duties with these guys. Speaking of Adley, he was the other guy that I'm curious to see, because while spring training doesn't matter and we got to throw all the stats out, it'll be good to see Adley have some quality at-bats in spring, considering it's been a while since we've seen him look comfortable at the plate. So I'm just looking for any positive signs. And it's not just for me to cling on and say, oh, yep, there he is. He's going to be a MVP candidate again this year. No, it's mostly so I can kind of, you know, sweep the dirt that's in the back of my mind of last year of what he looked like. I just want to get that out. I need a new version of Adley. So I want to see the positive Adley that all the other beat reporters apparently are watching in Sarasota. He's looked good. I want to see him look good in spring as well.
The other guy I want to see look good is I want to see what Gunner's doing at shortstop, you know, to help his – does he set and throw? You know, I mean, I think that's like the big thing that Bordy was saying. Set your feet to throw. Mm-hmm. Don't always, you know, throw off balance.
Look like you're Patrick Mahomes of a baseball game.
Yeah. You know, so I want to see that. And then another thing I want to see the confidence level of Holliday at second and how he's turning the double play, those types of things. You know, I want to see, you know, because when we talked about it earlier, his throwing, he just looked like, you know, he was throwing shot puts over to first base. You know, have some confidence and zip that ball over mm-hmm. there and act like, you know, you got a gun. Not like, you know, that where the ball loops in the air. It's like, come on. You know, we don't want any tie goes to the runner deals.
Exactly. Yeah, and the whole operation there in the infield, because the talent's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The talent there to turn double plays is there. It just wasn't clicking last year, and there were multiple reasons for it. I think Holliday's probably towards the top of that list just because he was not a sure thing at second. But if they can get that lockdown where they're one of the best defensive teams, at least infield-wise, I mean, you know Cedric and Kowser are going to handle their business in the outfield.
Right.
But infield-wise, turning double plays, pitcher's best friend, it's all going to add up. It's all going to make the whole team better.
I mean, just off the top of my head, they should have the best defensive infield in the division. I mean, I don't know of another team in the division that has a better defense possibly as a whole, but definitely on the infield. I think the Orioles are in elite category. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Danielle Allen-Tuck. She covers the team for the Banner. Get her thoughts on what she's seen so far in spring training. Who is she excited to see in spring training as well? And who is this new pitcher that's got all these Orioles beat reporters raving as of late? We'll ask her next here on The Fan for the Baltimore Banner. Danielle, what's going on?
Not much. Just enjoying the sundown here.
Oh, I bet. I bet you are. And we're thankful that the sun is out here. I don't see any snow on the ground, so I'm going to count my blessings. But Danielle, with the first spring training game coming up tomorrow, we were talking in the last segment about guys that we're excited to see this spring on the field. Is there anybody in your mind that you're excited to see in some of these Grapefruit League games?
Well, I'm really excited to see Sugano and see how he looks against competition. He did a live batting practice today, but it's still just tinkering with things, so it's kind of hard to see, you know, what he's truly going to look like. And I'm also really interested in how some of these roster battles are going to pan out. You know, how is Kobe Mayo going to look this spring? Is he going to make it impossible for them to deny him a spot? You know, Cade Povich, how is he going to look this spring after getting a taste of the majors? So I think there's a bunch of interesting storylines and like mini position battles to watch throughout the spring.
Danielle, there's a couple of guys I want to ask you about. Jackson Holliday, does he look more confident at second base, especially throwing the ball? And then, you know, how's he doing with his swing and stuff batting? And then Gunnar Henderson, is he setting his feet more or is he still acting like Patrick Mahomes in the pocket?
So I think in terms of both Jackson and Gunnar hitting, it's going to be really hard to tell until they get into real game action, just because things are so chill on the backfield that, you know, they could make an adjustment and it doesn't actually translate to a game at all. But in terms of Jackson playing second, you can just see it. He just has confidence, you know, as he's moving around. He knows what he's doing. And I think that's the major difference between this spring and last spring is that, you know, he's just able to go out there and practice. He's not learning the position. He's kind of fine-tuning the position now. And you really see that in the way that he moves and operates.
We're talking to Danielle Allen-Tuck, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Danielle, I saw some tweets the other day of a lot of the beat reporters really talking up Rodolfo Martinez, who's a bullpen arm that they have down there. What have you seen from him, and did he catch your attention?
Yeah, that guy throws gas. You know, I don't have access to TrackMan data, but from my eye, it looks like he's throwing 98, 99. I think the thing about him is, you know, you start to wonder, is he the next Yennier Cano or Felix Bautista, that flamethrower who's going to sneak his way onto the opening day roster? But I have to see a little bit more of his command. You know, so far he's looked good, but it's really easy to look good when, you know, you're not throwing against anybody. So he looks like a great potential low stakes pickup for them. And I'm really intrigued to see what he looks like once game action gets underway.
Hey, Danielle, is Mayo and Kerstedt confidence wise defensively? How are they looking defensively and how many different positions are they playing?
So Mayo has been playing first and third, and I think defense for him is just always going to kind of be a work in progress. I've seen him make a couple bad throws, but that's kind of what the beginning of spring training is for, to make those bad throws. So they don't want to judge too much often yet. But with Mayo, you know, I think he has to stand out a lot defensively in order to move up this depth chart, just because third and first are pretty stacked positions for the Orioles. In terms of Heston, they don't really do outfield-specific positions when they're just playing on the backfield, so it's a little hard to tell. But I would imagine they're going to have them mainly in right field once games get underway.
Danielle, I know at the start of spring training, you know, it was thrown out there that they're going to treat Felix Bautista with kid gloves. They're going to take their time with him. And so far, it seems like, you know, from when you guys talk to him, it sounds like he's on pace. He feels good right now. How's he look to you in the early stages of spring training?
He looks like Felix Bautista to me. And that's the great thing. You know, he's kind of blended right in with everybody else so far. He hasn't thrown any live batting practice yet, as far as I know. And I wouldn't expect to see him in games until maybe the second week of March, but so far everything seems right on track with him. Opening day is still the target. If not, you know, maybe a little bit after opening day. But, you know, I watched him throw a bullpen the other day. His command looks good. Fastball looked good to me. So I think everything is right on track for him.
Hey, Daniel, when you arrived down there, you know, and you got a chance to see the guys the first time, is there anybody that you're like, damn, he's really changed his body in a good way? And then there's this like, oh, he's been eating pretty good this offseason.
So no to the second answer, which is pretty uncommon in a baseball locker room, to be honest. This is my sixth season. It's always usually one guy, but didn't notice anybody with that. In terms of the other way, Jackson Holliday's been talked a lot about. That we wrote on a banner about all the ground beef he ate this summer to beef up, and I had never met Tyler O'Neill, so I don't know if this counts, but he is jacked. He is so strong, so muscular. You see it in, you know, even in his jersey, that he just has a ton of muscle.
We're talking to Danielle Allen-Tuck, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Danielle, I know you guys talked to David Rubenstein the other day, and he talked about a variety of things. But one of the things that he said that obviously caught a lot of people's attention is that, you know, basically there is no spending limit. There is no cap, or there's nothing that he's telling Mike Elias that he can't spend on. He's allowing his baseball guys to do their job after coming off the offseason where there wasn't a lot of movement for the Orioles in terms of bringing in external players. How did you take what he said? He's been saying that for a while, but did that have any different meaning for you?
So it was really interesting hearing that, and then after hearing what Mike Elias said at his intro conference at the start of camp, where Mike Elias said, you know, we want sustained competitive success for years to come. And, you know, that to me means you just want to be good. Like, you just want to make the playoffs, not necessarily go out and, you know, go all in for 1 year. So I think the thing is that, you know, when you have this current front office, their goal is always going to be that sustained competitive success, not necessarily go out and spend big, even if they have the resources to, because he's always going to be thinking, you know, okay, if I give, you know, $100 million to one player, that means I won't be able to sign anybody else next year, because that would be that. And I think until you rewire the front office's thinking, you know, I don't think it really even matters how much money you have at your disposal.
Hey, Danielle, has there been much talk about the new wall?
Not much. They are very excited, you know, Mountcastle and Redsburg in particular, but not too much. I think they're kind of waiting to see what it looks like once they get there.
Danielle, obviously Adley's second half of the season was pretty disappointing, and I've seen a lot of you guys' tweets while you've been out there. It looks like, you know, the old Adley, at least to this point, has shown up to Sarasota. Just what are some of the differences? And I know it's still very early, but what has he talked about, you know, his issues last year? And was there anything in specific that maybe he's looking to clean up?
So Adley is very careful, you know, not to go out and spill all his secrets. But I think the shift that I have noticed with him and a couple of the other guys this spring as well is that, you know, in 23, they just kind of chalked up that playoff loss. Like, all right, like, it was a bad series. We'll get them next year. And now, you know, after how last year's season went, particularly the second half for Adley and a lot of other guys, is they're angrier. You know, like, that shouldn't have happened. You know, particularly with Adley, like, he should not have fallen off that much. He claims he wasn't injured, claims there wasn't anything technically wrong. It was just a really bad second half and postseason for him in particular. And I think that shift has been very noticeable, where, like, they're angry and they want to go out and correct that this year.
Danielle, great stuff. Really appreciate your time this afternoon, taking a break from this all that sunlight you're getting out there.
Suntan lotion, right, Danielle.
How can people follow you and find your work?
I'm on Twitter at @D_AllenTalk, and you can also subscribe to Baltimore Banner for $1 for 6 months to read not only my work, but all my colleagues who are also down here.
There it is. Danielle, appreciate you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again down the line.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll wrap things up. Take one last trip through the Funhouse with Nolan before Inside Access takes over at 2. That's next on The Fan. My lane, but there's a lot of music that came out before I was born that I am very, very much so aware of. If we start getting back into the old R&B, some Isley Brothers, some Luther, you play anything Luther, I'm going to know what that song is. I can promise you that.
Now, my roommate in college, if he had a girl over,
Luther
was coming on.
He knows what to do. he's got the playbook.
If I heard Luther, yep.
Luther's one of the few people.
I know you're sitting in there.
He's got two different eras. You've got skinny Luther. You've got fat Luther. And both of them are great, but a lot of us will tell you fat Luther, you know, was the better one. But either way, I'm a big Luther Vandross guy. Cordell Woodland here for Bob. I'll be here for Bob again on Monday with Vinny and Nolan McGraw. Before Inside Access takes over, let's take one last trip through the funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Players to keep an eye on this spring training, this texter here says, might be a long shot for him to make the rotation out of spring, but I really like Cade Povich, what he showed at the end of last year. I think he can become a legit back-end guy who's going 5-plus innings every time out in September.
Cade Povich, who's starting the game on Sunday for the Orioles, but I agree. I don't think he's going to break camp with the team, but Cade, I think, will be a guy that we see quite a bit of this year. We saw a lot of Cade Povich last year, some good, not so good, but you hope that that balances out a little more this year. He doesn't have a lot of make-you-miss type of stuff, so he's got to be a guy that can find the plate, and at times his command got him into trouble. But look, I'm optimistic about Cade Povich. I'm sure they are, because like I said, I'm sure they will be calling him up to join the team at various times this season.
On Adley's adjustments or improvements from last year, this texter here says Adley needs a swing change. Injury or not, he was just hacking away towards the end of last season. Wasn't a smooth motion, not the one he debuted with for sure, or the swing a player of his caliber should have.
Yeah, I just wonder how much of that is like his swing and how much of it was, you know, him having to overcompensate because his fingers messed up or something like that. I mean, you don't go from being one of the more efficient batters that this team has to being the guy that Adley was last year. I mean, just think, we were praising his strike zone. We were praising his batter's eye since he got up here. He wasn't selective at all in the second half of the year last year. He's just up there hacking, and I'll agree with the texter on that. You know, him being selective at the plate has nothing to do with him dealing with the injury on his hand. That said, I think his confidence was clearly shot. Hopefully we get the real Adley Rutschman this year.
And one more here. This texter says, fans seem really caught up in trying to replace Santander's power, but I would rather see a more balanced lineup. Their downfall last year in the playoffs was swinging for the fences every time up. This lineup should be deep enough where they string together at-bats, make the opposing pitcher actually work.
Yeah, I think efficiency is going to be their thing this year. I'm pretty sure when they made the changes with the hitting coaches, and even just when they self-scouted last year, they understand that they can't just be home run or bust again. That's not going to work.
They got speed, man. They got athletes on the base. Take advantage of your athleticism. And to me, like, some of those guys could be some phenomenal bunters, too.
I mean, we heard Brandon Hyde the other day call for more bunts for hits and more running on the base paths, more hit and runs. Yeah, I mean,
me and Hyde are thinking alike.
Where was that last year? That was kind of my first thought. But, you know, better now than never. I agree. They've got to just be more efficient. It can't just be strikeout, home run, doubles. Like, that's just not the way to live.
Pitch softball.
That's just not the way to live. So I want to see the Orioles, who, look, to their credit, they've been really good at scoring runs. They were an elite category in the American League last year in that department. I expect that to be the case again this year, but I would love to see more small ball played by the Birds. That'll do it for us. Another great one in the books. Appreciate Nolan. Great job as always. All of our guests, everybody that called in and tuned in to us today. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access, they're up next. Until Monday, class is missed.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.